My favourite part of the month when Shirley Smith sits in here and joins me with a big smile on her face, as always, no matter how awful a day she has, she seems to manage a big smile on her face. Anyway, today she's going to talk about something that I think as parents, every single one of us have had problems with at some stage in the past, which is fussy eating children. I know that in my childhood, you were sent out the back door or locked into the garage and left there for 24 hours till you came out starving. But I don't think that's how we deal with it anymore, Shirley, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. It's good to chat with you again, Declan. Yeah, look, mealtimes is, it can be a battle of wills if you have a fussy eater. So I thought today we could do help parents, give them tips and ideas on managing the fussy eater when you're worried as well. Like, it's coming from a good place. You're really worried that, are they getting underweight? Are they having a balanced diet? You know, and even the the dreaded question, what's for dinner tonight? So you're busy always trying to come up with new ideas and creative ways to feed your family. And then you have a fussy eater thrown into the mix. I don't want. So what can you do? I suppose that's what we're going to look at today.
Yeah, but one of the things, that it can almost become a battle of wills sometimes, can't it? You know, you feel like, I've got to hold out here. I've got to win this battle. If I lose this battle, I'm going to lose all battles from now on. But it's not necessarily like that, is it?
No. I mean, it's but it does. It can get very stressful. It can become like you're trying, you know, and children, particularly if they have issues around food, they can really dig their heels in. And then what happens is they can start to dread, you as a parent even can dread dinner being put down, because yeah, you're expecting a complete meltdown, because that's what's happened so often in the last while, do you know? So both you and your child start to dread food, sitting down to eat. And food plays such an important part of our day. You know, it's not just sustenance. There's a social element to it. We're sitting around, we're chatting and connecting with our family. So to have this you know, challenge is really difficult. Like, it can really get to you. Like,
yeah, and I'm sure it gets to a stage where parents actually become to dread mealtime because they know this battle is going to start.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they just know that something's going to kick off. So, surprise, surprise, the first thing, piece of advice that I'm going to give parents is to try to remain calm. If it turns into a battle of wills, you're going to lose. Everybody gets stressed out. You're stressed, yeah. The child's stressed. It just all falls apart. And you're giving the child, it becomes a battle of wills, and that's not good. So try and stay calm is the first piece of advice I'd give. fussy eating as well can occur at any stage in childhood. So it's not uncommon for me to hear from parents that they, when they were weaning their baby, they tried and tasted everything. Now they have a toddler and it's total meltdowns that they're having any time that they're not eating stuff. Or when children are at primary school, they can see or hear what other children are doing, and that can influence food, particularly if there's name calling about body weight or whatever, and the same in teenage years. So it can literally happen. You could have a child who is eating everything you put in front of them and then suddenly they develop this fussy eating where there's only certain food groups that they'll eat, certain quantities, all sorts of things can go wrong, and it turns quickly, can descend into a battle of wills, and very stressful. Like, it's so stressful for parents because every parent, as I say, is working so hard to try and put a well-balanced diet, you know, and meals in front of their children every day. So it's not easy. So try and stay calm.
Not always easy, but Grant, we'll try.
Yes. The calmer we are, though, the less likely it is that arguments will occur, and the more likely we are to turn things around. So kind of think about the very fact that you're motivated to improve your child's diet means that you care and you're doing a fantastic job. And just keep telling yourself that, because you really are. So then the next kind of tip I would give is to take a step back from the actual meal times and start trying to figure out and gain an understanding as to why it might be happening. And that sounds like, oh, so half the battle really of understanding, you know, or tackling the fussy eating is to understand why it's happening to begin with. For example, it's normal for parents, as I said, to wait to sail through weaning, and then when it gets to toddler stage, they become fussy eaters. Similarly, when children are at school, they begin to pay attention to their friends and what they're doing, and it can be common for them to question the food that they eat. Peer pressure, indirect or direct, can influence a child's outlook. And again, this is a normal part of growing up. You know, understanding the root cause of it is the key. You know, for children, many of what they do in the day, they've no control over. So I have to get up to go to school, or because my mom or dad is taking me to a childminder because they need to go to work. I have to wear the clothes that my parents sets out for me, or my uniform at school. My lunch is packed, so when I open my lunch at school, I have to eat what's in it. I have to go to bed at a certain time. So there's a lot of things that children actually don't have any control over. So one of the things they quickly discover is they can control food, because it can enter into a battle of wills. So take away the battle is what we'd say. If it's getting into a fight or an argument, or you insisting they sit at the table until their food is finished, then you could be there for hours. It could descend quite quickly into something that you both don't want.
But then in that situation, do you just offer them whatever they want, if it's cornflakes or Rice Krispies or whatever, for dinner? You know, it gets difficult, doesn't it?
It does. Like, and what it says is, like, think about, it's not about winning today's battle. It's about winning the overall war. And that's what I'm kind of advocating today. So what I'd say is, like, slow introductions of new foods, or of foods that that the rest of the family are eating. So give them what they want to eat, you know, but have on the side a small amount, you know, a few tablespoons of the dinner that everybody else is eating, separate, on a separate plate, is one suggestion. Okay, most children will not get excited about the idea of new foods. At best, they'll be wary, and at worst, they'll be downright suspicious of any foods that are out of the ordinary. So on average, a child needs to be offered new food 10 to 15 times before they'll accept it.
Yeah, I saw you had this written down. This blew my mind. 10 to 15 times.
Yeah. So if they don't eat it the first time, we think we failed and we don't offer it again. So what I'd say is keep offering, that they need to try out the food 10 to 15 times before their taste buds, they get used to the texture, the taste, the smell. You know, there's so much about food. It's such a sensory experience. It's how it looks. Mm-hmm. So this is a food that I'm not used to having. And it looks strange. It smells strange. It tastes strange. So I'm feeling a bit wary. So think about what your child's experiencing. So it takes 10 or 15 goes before you actually give up and say that's not a food that they like. Is what I would say.
Yeah.
The key is to introduce new foods slowly. For example, if you like your child to eat parsnips, have it on the table regularly. Let them see it. Let them see you eating it. Because don't forget, children do what we do more than mm-hmm. what we say. Encourage them to try a small amount, making it clear that if they don't like it, they don't have to have any more today. That's the key part. It's not anymore today.
Right.
And a few days later, you could try introducing it again, but in a different way. Mix it in with other vegetables they like, covered in a sauce they know they like. Slowly over time, you will get them to eat a little bit more. So keep persevering.
Okay.
My next kind of top tip is one step at a time. So it's really important for us to want to go all out with our plans. Chuck out the junk food, improve our diet. Where children are concerned, small steps, gentle changes are needed for success.
So don't just change everything in one go. Don't just come in one day and decide, right, we're all going to eat healthily from here on in.
Yeah, that the entire meal is alien to the child.
Right.
It's not going, it's going to, so have again one new food or right. one new thing, and the rest of their dinner is something they're familiar eating, and slowly introduce the healthy eating if that's what you want to do. You might want, for example, you might want to help your child have a healthier breakfast. If your child currently has two slices of white bread toast, swap out one of the slices for a small amount of porridge. Change one little element every few days.
Okay.
So kind of slowly does it. Positive language, so keep it positive. The way we talk about food will influence their relationship with it. So I'm suggesting a move away from good versus bad foods and talk more about the nutrients in the, your new food that you're introducing. So this will help you feel fuller for longer. It will help your bones get strong, your hair grow. It will give you energy to learn and play. So let them know why you're changing up the foods. Get them involved. So helping children to get involved with the preparing of food. You know, even toddlers, you could have washed and peeled carrots. They can pop them into the pot of water for you. Do you know, like there's safe things that you can do at every age. The more you get them involved in the prep of the food and preparing it, the more they're going to have a relationship with it, because they feel they've been part of the making of it and they have a better understanding of what goes in.
But watch the sharp knives.
Yeah, and obviously heat and all that kind of stuff. So give them safe things that they can do. But like even in primary school, you can make it fun as well. Animal sandwiches, indoor picnics, you know. You don't have to, like, as weather cannot, we're not living in a country where weather can be predictable. You can have a picnic for lunch, but just, you know, putting a picnic blanket down on your kitchen floor, and it just creates an element of fun that children want to participate in. For some children as well, they, like, as I say, it's very visual. So having like a little quirky plate or their own special cup or, you know, those things all help. And some children don't like when food touches. So they don't mind like their broccoli, but they wouldn't eat broccoli if it was touching off their mashed potato or whatever. So you can get plates with little dividers. And they're handy as well for portion sizes and things like that. So yeah, try and make it as fun as possible and get them as involved as is safe to do so. That's, and then try and break up your routine. So for some children, they associate the kitchen table and mealtimes as negative or waiting for the argument to happen. So as soon as you say, sit down for dinner, if what's been happening in the last while is an argument breaks out between you and your child, they're going to dread. They're not going to want to sit down. So, and if that's the case, try changing your routine. Eat outside if it's warm. Have an indoor picnic. Give them space and freedom to take their time eating without eyes on them. So they mightn't want you looking at them. Experiment with different ways to break up the mealtime routine. If it's been sour, like if it's been a battle of wills for the last while, then that's something that will change it up. Now this one, my next tip is a bit controversial, okay?
We can take it.
But it's a tip that parents have given other parents. You can hide vegetables by, you know, liquidising them, putting them in the gravy, you know. What I'd suggest is, because if there's a point blank refusal to eat any vegetables, but you'd like them to, that this is a way that you, at least you know it's going in, do you know?
And in practice, do you find that it is vegetables are the problem, not meat and not potato? It's vegetables seem to be, isn't it, with children for some reason?
Yeah. But it's textures, there's loads of different reasons why, you know, they might like the feel or the texture or the taste of the vegetable in their mouth. Like it's, you know, it's a challenge. So what you can do is you can liquidise their portion and mix it in with gravy and put that over their dinner or a sauce that they like, okay? But what I'd suggest if you're doing that, is to also have the vegetables on a plate beside their dinner. So, and getting them to try it, just like we talked about. Because you do need them at some point to know that they, like, they, to eat vegetables. So to eat them in the texture that they they're normally cooked in. So it's important to kind of put some of the vegetables, even if it's a tiny amount, on a separate plate for them to keep trying it. Bearing in mind it takes 10 to 15 goes before you have success. But at least while you're doing that, there's still the nutrients of the veggies in the gravy. And then, like, there's so many things that parents don't think about when it comes to food. As I said, it's about how it, the texture of it in your mouth. It's about how it smells, how it looks. Like, there's so many elements to food. And if a child has sensory needs, that can be an extra challenge for them.
Yeah.
Some of these ideas might help with that. But like, if your child has a diagnosis or whatever and you're engaged with the disability team, talk to a dietitian and get advice from them on how to manage it. Like, I'm not a dietitian. The advice I'm given today is based on lots of different trainings and parenting courses and tips that I've gotten from other parents down through the years.
Yeah.
So, like, do talk to a dietitian, like, if you feel that there's a sensory issue.
Yeah, that's a different thing, though. And parents would know that, wouldn't they? They'd know there's a bit more going on here than just simple sort of food refusal or whatever.
Yeah, it's a lot more pronounced. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're not, maybe they want everything liquidized, or do you know, I don't know. But like, it's really important to try do seek, like, and if anybody has like toddler that is struggling with fussy eating, try out some of these ideas. But don't forget your public health nurse. Like, when you're popping in for developmental checks and all that, there is there's great, they will offer advice. And the websites that I've mentioned before, so that's mychild.ie is the HSE website, and Parenting 24/7, which is the TUSLA website. So they have different parenting tips on eating as well. So, you know, go explore. Have fun with food, though, I think is the main thing. Bring back the fun and take out the battle, you know.
Yeah. It wasn't an uncommon presentation in general practice. Mother would bring in the child and sort of say, he eats absolutely nothing, you know. First question you'd always ask, well, what's his energy levels like? Absolutely, he tears the place down. He's in great form. He's always in great form. And then we sort of don't worry about it that much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see, though, where you're coming from with the battles and that sort of, it's that psychological bit.
Well, because parents are genuinely worried that if this continues, will my child become underweight?
Yeah.
Will they develop,
yeah,
an aversion to food where it becomes like
eating disorders? Yeah.
And
yeah,
all
yeah,
those yeah. kind of things worry parents. So yeah. Hopefully today we've given some tips and ideas for success.
As always, Shirley, thanks a million. I found it fascinating anyway, you know.
Thank
I should
you.
Go back parenting again, but I'm a bit old, so I won't, you know. thanks a million.